That's not necessarily, you know, the problem of tattoos.
What about writing on your hand?
Okay, so that's a good question. Let me explain here. Look at source number 4 for just a second, and then we'll go to the basement just to try to understand this. Okay. Yeah.
I've always wanted this.
You've always wanted this. All right. We'll see if you still want it after.
We'll see if
looking at the sources makes you want it more or makes you want it less. That's a lot of fun.
Eyeliner tattoo is brilliant.
Okay. So in source number 1, I guess the first thing that we see here, before we read source number 4, we know that there's a pasuk in the Torah which tells us that tattoos are problematic. See what it says here? Sarat la nefesh lo sinu b'vsarchem, v'chsovis kaka lo sinu b'chem ani Hashem. Anybody know what this means? Anybody ever seen this pasuk before? I know you're familiar with the idea. But.
No.
Okay, Sarat la nefesh. Who knows what a Sarat is? This is a little hard. Don't say a movie yet. Good, yes. Sarat in the movie is a samach reish tet. Okay, this is sin reish tet. Good, excellent, very good. Scratch or cut. So you can't make a scratch or cut, like an incision in your body. Okay, this is like, again, a permanent incision. Which will translate as some sort of tattoo. You can't put on yourself. Ani Hashem. Okay. So what is ksovas kaka? We're not going to go into this right now. We'll go to it when we come back after the base medrash. But in sources number 2 and 3, we'll discuss the exact parameters. And the question that we're going to have is, okay, there's one issue that you can't get a permanent tattoo. Okay, you may know people that do have them. Most probably permanent tattoos are usur. Okay, people that got them in the Holocaust, it wasn't their fault. What? Yes, that's number 1. They have. There's. I don't think so. I think either it's a really, really painful, or it's not so simple. Okay.
And you have a scar in the shape.
Right. That's also a good question, by the way, which we'll go to maybe later. If you have one, if it is possible to get it removed, are you obligated to remove it once you have it?
Okay.
So that's right. So there, I think it's very, very difficult to remove those. I've never heard of any of those people that actually removed them.
They also didn't do that.
Right. So that's the thing. They didn't do it. It wasn't their fault. Okay. They were forced, obviously, by the Nazis. And then afterwards, you know, they had it, and everybody knows what it is. You look at it, it's obvious. If you've ever seen them, you know one has a number, pretty obvious what they're from. The question that comes up today is really the following. Okay. So look at source number 4. This is, if you, anybody here from TNEC knows where Rabbi Jachter is, he teaches at TABC.
And a few other things.
Okay, you know.
Wait, is he good.
What? No, he's a teacher. He's also on the base, and he wrote a very nice book called Gray Matter, which I actually have here. It's a very, very nice book here. Okay, basically he deals with like a lot of halachic topics which are a little bit tricky to deal with. So he has a lot of good articles about them. You can see on the back here all the different topics that he has. If anybody wants to look at this and tell me any topics that you enjoy that you want to do here, I'm happy to do it. So I'll read you just the source number 4. This is what he says, and you'll understand what the question is. Recently, actually somebody else read. I don't have to read. Go for it, Gabby.
Recently, procedures have been developed to tattoo permanent or semi-permanent makeup on women. I've been told that in the process of applying permanent makeup, also known as micropigmentation, dermapigmentation, or cosmetic tattooing, a needle deposits colored pigments made from iron oxide into the skin's dermal layer, the layer between the permanent base layer and the constantly changing top layer. This procedure is applied on the lips and or around the eyes. This procedure is performed under antiseptic conditions and anesthesia is used when performing this form of surgery. The tattooing can be either permanent or semi-permanent. The form of semi-permanent tattooing that contemporary posts can discuss lasts up to 3 years and eventually disintegrates. These procedures are very tempting for observant women, especially those who are blessed with the task of caring for young children, as it saves time and avoids the problem of applying makeup on Shabbat. However, there are serious halachic problems associated with this procedure.
Okay, everybody understand? I mean, what's going on here is we have this new, I don't know how new it is anymore, you know, a couple of years ago, this semi-permanent makeup or semi-permanent tattoo. They put it in like a tattoo as makeup so that you don't have to have, again, there's all sorts of different forms of this. You don't have to put on makeup or whatever, eyeliner or whatever other stuff every week, every day, whatever it is. And it lasts, for as we say here, it lasts usually up to 3 years and then disintegrates. The question is, halachically, is this okay or not? That's the question.
No.
So, you already say no. We didn't want to make it. Okay? You might be right, you might be wrong.
It's okay. It's not permanent.
What? So Dina raises the other side. Maybe the Torah says it's forbidden. Maybe that's only if it's permanent.
What if you die within those 3 years? Can you not be buried
with it? Okay, so again,
and
let's... I don't know if you have to talk about that. I don't know if you talk about dying during the 3 years. But I have to put a morbid note here. But part of the question is going to be whether 3 years is considered to be the same thing as being permanent. And then we'll have to go through some other sources and try to figure out like what are the other parameters of the prohibition of tattooing in terms of how it was done in the times of the Gemara, in terms of what the reason why it was done and a few other things, and figure out, is this really, is there any way to allow this for people that want? Okay. Memphis, another question. Does anybody here, do you guys know anybody that has tattoos of any sort?
No.
You know people that have this? Just out of curiosity, do you happen to know if they, I mean, I don't know how firm they are, but if they would have been people that would have asked a Shiloh, do you happen to know if anybody ever asked anybody, a rabbi type person about it?
They would not.
They wouldn't ask. They wouldn't ask. Okay, good.
I know someone who went to rabbi.
She got it done.
Faded
and just
integrated.
Yeah,
seriously.
My friends
with
tattoos are not, like,
their
real tattoos, not faded.
They're real tattoos. Okay. They're permanent.
Okay. Paid tattoos.
Okay. Good people with tattoos are still good Jews, okay? They're definitely still good people. You know, just maybe that they violated an Isur Daraisa, which maybe they may not care about. You know, probably if they did it, they'd probably. I don't think this is like one of the laws that people don't know about. Like, there's certain halakhas that people just don't know. I think this is not one of them. I think this one people know about, and if they choose not to keep it, it's not because of ignorance, it's because they. No, they just, that's not something that really concerned them. Which hopefully for you guys, at least you guys, the fact that you're here, hopefully this is something which is important to you, so you know, you'll follow whatever the rules will be. You know, hopefully you'll be able to follow them. Yes?
Isn't it a myth that if you have to, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery?
That's not specifically something which is a halacha that they say.
Because everyone thinks that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Never heard that before. Okay. I don't know where it came from, but that's not specifically something which is any worse than any other prohibition in the Torah. Which, in general, today we do bury most people in cemeteries. The only question, even somebody who committed suicide, which they say you're not supposed to bury them, you know, everybody else, and we still say that we do it, and we sit shiva, and we do the whole thing, and we give reasons why. Another case, this is an interesting one, if you guys, I don't know if you like this topic, but an interesting case that people talk about, unfortunately, that's happened a lot, is what about cremation?
That's interesting.
Cremation is, you know, like that, it's too morbid, right? So cremation, unfortunately, is probably usher according to the halacha. We have to figure out why, but people that do cremation, that already some people say maybe you can't bury them in the cemetery, and maybe people that cremated themselves, then can't sit shiva for them to get a relative, etc., etc. The ashes. Take the ashes afterwards and put them in the cemetery.
People either sprinkle them.
What'd you say?
I thought people like take that
home. Yeah.
Some people do, and some people will actually ask that. This is the question, really. When it comes to that, did you learn about that in high school, by the way? Yeah. Did you learn about cremation in high school?
Yeah.
No. I've got something you don't learn yet. Maybe we should do that.
I have friends on Twitter. Your thing are that.
All right, so just in terms of that, the idea of cremation is that, let's say that, you know, somebody asked to be cremated, okay, they weren't terribly religious and they didn't understand, even after being explained to them that it's not really a Jewish thing to do, they still said they wanted to do it. And let's say that some of the children are religious and some of the children really don't want that. Then they say, well, they couldn't stop it, okay, they tried, they couldn't stop it. All right, I've heard this case before, and I know people that whose relatives have had this that were in consultation, you know, with me and, you know, other bigger postmen about this type of thing. So, you know, afterwards, let's say that they at least want to say that even if they couldn't bury the body, at least they want to bury the ashes in the cemetery to have something. They want to have some memory of the person, some place to go. As a shiloh, a lot of people say, absolutely not, you can't bury them, you know, can't bury the ashes. So, you know, that's something where there definitely is, you know, a halacha about not burying whatever's left in the cemetery. That's a real one which many posts in, you know, agree with. Okay, anyway, if anybody likes the topic, we can do that another time. What? Kohanim is not probably not the same thing. I mean, there's nothing left aside from the ashes.
Yesterday,
the
kids were
ashes.
I said it's not a problem.
Okay. Anyway, so that's it. Let's go from here, and we'll move forward. Okay, so basically what we're going to try to do here is go through a few different issues about tattoos, and based on each one, we'll have to decide whether these semi-permanent cosmetic tattoos violate the prohibition or not. Some of the issues will be in the makoros that you looked at or didn't look at, whatever, and some of them will not. I'll tell you some of them outside or whatever. Okay, let's start with the first points. Actually, you know what? Let me write them on the board, okay? We even have a marker today. We're just missing an eraser.
You
want me to
go
with
anyone?
I guess it's
the
final
one. I'll be right back.
Okay, first, who can just give me, just throw out, some of this we said already, but we'll do it again. Who can throw out some of the idea that you think that the answer might be based on, whether it's the same thing or not? I mean, what points would you have to, would you say? Okay, so that's one issue. I guess Mara's Ayin is only a problem if you think that this is not tattooing. Okay. I mean, right now we're not even. It might be the actual the Isur to begin with. So you don't even have to get to Marat Ayin yet. Before you get to Marat Ayin, what like components of Ketovet Ka'aka would you think about? What is it? Okay. So permanent. That's really the first thing. Okay.
You're interested.
Start here. Okay? That's actually not what I mean, but permanent is a good one. Let me explain. Okay? For permanent, okay? So Ketubah Katka on the Torah is probably permanent. Okay? We'll have to see the source inside. The question is, how do we classify this one, which is semi-permanent? How long do we say it was? Up until about
3 years.
Roughly 3 years. Okay? So the question here is, does 3 years count? Okay? Is that considered to be permanent? That's question, that would be, let's say, number one. Okay, let me give you a couple other ideas. Let me see what I mean. Okay. What type of tattoo do you think the Torah is talking about when it says you can't do a ketubah katka? I mean, how deep is the tattoo?
To the dermal.
Is it on the top layer of the skin?
No.
The middle layer, like between the skin and the actual, you know, flesh? Or is it like in the actual flesh itself?
In the flesh, where it's permanent.
Okay.
So it's
good. So the question here is going to be, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, so now the second question is going to be, how deep does it have to be in order to violate the Ketubah Katka? And then the question is going to be, is this deep enough, these semi-permanent ones, are these deep enough to be the same thing? Okay, that's the next question. All right. Next question also, okay. Question number three. All right. Question number three, what is the order of the process? Meaning, in the sources, is there a specific order of the process that the Torah of Chazal say you have to do it in order to be able to violate Ketubah Katka? And does it apply here? Yeah, we'll explain what we mean when we get to it. Okay, I'm just giving you the question there. Yes?
What about like a henna tattoo?
Oh, what?
Like, what about like a week?
Henna just dyes your skin, it doesn't.
Explain, sorry, I'm ignorant.
Henna is a type of.
They do it at Sephardi weddings. Like, yeah. Sephardi weddings, they have the like dries on the hands. So that's the other henna tattoo.
Okay, I got it.
It's not permanent, it lasts probably like a week.
Okay, so those questions will probably be in here. I mean, if it's not permanent, how do you violate it? Does it violate it? And number two, how deep does it be is going to be a real question. Okay, that's going to be a question. How deep does it have to be?
But also, how permanent, right?
What?
Permanent.
Yeah, both of these points are going to be relevant to that question, so we'll get back to that, okay? We have three order of process. Number four, okay, is the following question.
What do you mean by order of process?
Well, there's a few different parts to the process, and the question is, halachically, in order to violate the iser, does it have to be done in a certain order, okay? We'll see, we'll get to it, okay? Number four is, what must be written? Meaning, according to the Torah, to violate the Ketubah Katka, does it have to be the right words, or have like a picture or something? Or would it even violate Ketubah Katka if you do what? Take a guess, what would be the other side? Even
just
if you just do...
draw.
Right, exactly. What do you mean by draw, though? Just define.
Doodle.
Forget picture. What we're talking about here, cosmetic, you know, tattoo, whatever.
A line.
Yeah, a line. Okay, line or just some color. Okay? That has to be... Okay, words are just color. If you tell me that you have to have words in order to be Ketubah Katka, then maybe this Ketubah Katka won't be a problem. You see what I'm saying? I understand what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
You guys got that idea?
So then a lot of people, if it's just words.
What'd you say?
A lot of people would be in the clear if it's just words. Like a lot of
correct. So again, we haven't answered it yet. And the last one, okay, what is the point? Meaning, why do you think in the Torah says you can't have a tattoo? Is it clear why that might be?
Yeah. You're not supposed to write in your home.
Okay, that's one part of that idea.
It is clear.
But there, yeah. Kaylee?
Maybe it's because all this has it, but it's like, because it says that like they used to like mark dead people with tattoos, so by like us marking our skins with tattoos.
Okay, so that's an idea, but you know, it's similar to marking dead people or making yourself do something that we do for somebody who's dead. But
and
another,
so
idea, yeah.
So,
right. So there's another thing that people that are when you can't make a scratch in your body when you're upset about somebody who dies. That's also a similar thing. Right. Here, there's also another concept that's brought in, which maybe we'll see, which is that maybe the real problem here is because it's done for idolatrous purposes, for avodah zarah. Okay. So if it's done for avodah zarah, maybe that's
back in the day,
people like maybe put like a butterfly on their
no, but back in
it's like.
They used to do
it
for
Zara. Right. That's not a bizarre. That's not idolatry. But certainly in this case, if you're doing it instead of like, you know, instead of makeup, so that's for sure not idolatry. Again, we'll have to see, is this important or not? Does it matter why you're doing it? Do we say no, it doesn't matter whatever you do it, it's still usher. Okay, those are the main questions. There's one more actually. Okay, one more question. Okay. This is an interesting one also. Who violates the iser? See if you can figure out what I mean by that.
The
The person who's doing it.
Yeah. The person who's doing what?
The tattoo.
What did that define? Who's the person that's doing the tattoo?
The one who's drawing it on you.
Oh, 1 second now. So if we listen to Kaylee and we say that maybe the person who's violating the prohibition is one who's drawing it, I'll tell you, oh, beautiful. So I'll ask a non-Jew to come put a tattoo and I'll just stay with my arm. That's it.
What does that mean?
What?
Yeah, it's a violation. I wasn't saying who was in violation of it. I was answering, what does that mean, though?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm asking you now?
Yeah.
I'm asking you, who is going to violate the Isser according to the Torah? What are the two possibilities? It could be either, what are the two options?
The person getting
it or the person who's doing it. Okay, that's a big difference. Maybe you'll tell me that it's us or the person to do it, but if you don't do it to your own flesh, which you probably don't, so then maybe you're fine, you're in the clear, you just let it be done to you. Okay, that's another question.
Yeah, but you're still letting someone...
You're right. So you might be right, but that's again a question that we have to answer in order to be able to give like a psak about any situation really of getting a tattoo. Okay. And then the last one, we'll give one more question, and this is if we say that it's aser, or either way, if we say that it's mutar, okay, might there be any exceptions to the rule? Okay. Now let's give an example there, and then we'll come back to this later. Let's say that we say that it's usher, okay? Usher, toa kaka, that's it. Now, sometimes it could be that if somebody, similar to cosmetic surgery, if somebody, God forbid, had a bad accident or a scar or something, and they want to use a tattoo type of procedure in order to put back, let's say one example I saw was that eyebrows, okay, to tattoo on like big eyebrows, or to remove a scar, to put a tattoo which looks like the color of your skin to be over a scar, a permanent scar, okay? Would those cases be the same if we say that it's usher? Would those be the same as everything else, or would we say maybe those are different because it's for a really important purpose, but the person doesn't like the way they look? But in this case, it's because it's like a medical problem. It's not just that they're bad self-esteem. It's like they really, if there's something wrong, that they really don't look the way that most people look. You have a question?
I would think that's more acceptable.
Maybe. We have to analyze it, and we have to figure out, well, if it's really us, or why would that make it okay? Okay, so you have to think about it. You might be right.
It's
we have
medical
to.
Problems. Like,
so what? So what?
But if it's a medical problem, you're allowed to do it.
Only if it's pikuach nefesh, right? Yeah. But in this case, it's not pikuach nefesh. They don't look so nice.
Yeah, but when we were learning about cosmetic cosmetics, you said that like if a person's getting a nose job because they truly think that it's going to like affect them from getting like a shidduch, then they were allowed to. So
good.
Even this be the same.
Good. Because it might be the same thing. We'll have to discuss it a little more in detail. The only difference might be that, remember what the prohibition was in that case? What was the problem with cosmetic surgery, the main issue that we talked about? You know, remember?
That could go wrong.
Tricking people?
No. I don't think it was that class. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. There was something else we talked about there, which was more serious.
Surgery?
Yeah, okay. What about that? What was wrong with
it?
That was part of it. In addition to that, it was also... There was more than that. I mean, that's not where that's true, but there was an even a more serious problem, which was the problem of chavala. Remember injuring yourself? Okay, remember that?
No. Yeah, but I don't remember what has to do with anything.
Okay, chavala is also according to the Torah to injure yourself.
No, I know that, but I'm saying if somebody is going under anesthetic, they're not injuring themselves. Like, that's just the regular risks of the surgery.
But again, but in order to do the procedure, you have to make cuts in your body in order to be able to...
Got it.
To do the cosmetic surgery, to do the procedure. So again, that might be together with the idea of, doing something which God didn't want you to do, and et cetera, et cetera. But that, there you might say, what we said there basically was that chavala, that injuring yourself for a good purpose, is not considered to be chavala. And the definition of chavala is injury which is done like for as a negative. But if you're doing injury for a positive purpose, to do surgery or whatever, maybe it's okay. The question is, would you be able to say the same thing when it comes to tattoos, that a tattoo is only a prohibition of a tattoo if it's done as a negative thing, but if you do it for a positive reason, then it's okay? We don't really see that. No, we don't see any precedent for that. Okay, so that's why we have to figure out whether there's another way to say that it's okay. Which we'll see. Maybe there may be a way to say that it's okay, but it may not be exactly the same logic. That was a good idea, though. Okay, that was definitely a very, very good suggestion. Okay, one more question, then we're going to start.
Who gets a tattoo for a negative reason? Like, you don't get it, like, to make...
I guess what a negative reason means that you're making an incision in your body not to make your body, like better. Like, to make it to fix something. You're doing it to, I don't know, it's hard to formulate.
You're doing it like a butterfly instead of like, to get your skin normal? Is that what you're trying to say?
Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okay, let's go through these points now, quickly, and we'll try to answer some of the questions, all right? Here we go. So number one. All right. So in terms of permanent, so how do we define permanent? So who saw in source number two here? Anybody saw the Rashi here in source number two? Okay. Anybody understand any of the words in Rashi? There were some tricky words here, but see if we can figure it out. Okay. Ketovet kaka. So that's the Torah. What does it say? Ketav ha-mechukeh v'shakua. Anybody know what that means? Mechukeh v'shakua. These are tricky words.
But sunken.
Very good. Excellent. Okay. So shakua is sunken. Very good. Mechukeh also. Mechukeh is also similar. Mechukeh means to be engraved. Okay? So basically it's like it's engraved and sunk into your body. She'eno nimchat le'olam. What does that mean? Oh, it's never going to be erased. She'mekakob machat. How do you do it? You put it in the body, the machat, with a... incisor or a needle, something like that. But mashchir le'olam. And mashchir from the word shachor, it makes it
dark.
Dark. In this case, usually it means black hair, means dark. It makes it dark, le'olam. Le'olam means?
Forever.
Okay, great. Now, tell me, use your thumbs now. You've got to do this. Okay? What does Rashi mean when he says le'olam? Okay, it's never going to be erased, and it's always going to be blackened or darkened. What does Rashi say?
It's going to like naturally go away.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning it's going to be permanent. If you don't do anything to it, it's going to stay there.
It's like you put in something in your body. Like you're creating a new thing on your body. Like once the needle goes
what
in.
What does Lola mean? What does Lola mean?
Forever.
So good. So one possibility is that it means forever. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay, if Lola means forever, so what's going to be the halacha in our case of semi-permanent tattoos?
That's okay.
Yes.
It might be okay. It might not be okay completely, but it's at least not Doraita. Okay, it's at least not from the Torah.
Or maybe it means for like the whole world to see. Does that make sense?
Keep going.
That's it.
I don't understand.
Wait, why would that be okay? What'd you say?
He's
saying that it's only just permanent, like for forever. And our question was, so it's 3 years for forever.
I thought he was saying that like once you put it like a needle in, basically, like he's not making it sound like. It has to be permanent. He's saying, like, once you stick the needle in, like, your skin, it's engraved and sunk in forever.
Okay.
Even if it's, so he's not, I don't think he's going to be permanent. I feel like he's saying, like, once you just, I don't know, whatever.
So you think he would say that if it's not going to be permanent, these tattoos last for 2 or 3 years and then they disintegrate. Do you think that is included in the forever? And if it's not forever, then maybe it would be okay, or at least it wouldn't be the right time?
I think it's not forever.
You're right. So
including it.
So what'd you say?
I thought he was including it because he was mentioning that once the needle went in, like...
I understand. So what's forever then? How do you define it? What does forever mean?
On the inside also, even if it doesn't show on the outside.
But if it disintegrates, though, that means even on the inside, the ink disintegrates, right? Isn't that the point, I think?
Everything that lasts an amount of time is the olam.
Ah, okay. So Danielle has another interesting suggestion. Maybe forever doesn't really mean forever. Maybe forever means it lasts for, would you say again?
For a while.
Right, a long amount of time. Okay, you have any good examples of that?
It's the same with the water tattoos.
A what tattoo?
Water. You know these tattoos for kids you put on your arm?
Ah, okay, very nice. Yeah,
but
very
it specifically says that those are allowed.
Yeah, that's it.
What
specifically
says those are allowed? Like, Irwin Jaffer, right. Well, yeah, Irwin Jaffer does mention that. Very good. Okay, we have to figure out why, though. Okay, we have to ask why that's different.
You put it on, and it goes off after 2 weeks. But the same if you take off a pen and you wrap something on your hand, it also lasts for
a
while.
I know, you wash your hands and it comes off.
Okay, so we have to figure out again.
The top,
so that, very good. So that's what we have to validate when we get to this one here. First, we're just on permanent. This one, number two, how deep does it have to be? We'll talk about if it's on the surface. But right now, in terms of permanent, so one option is that permanent means forever, and the other option means for a long time. Okay, and if you say it this way, do you think that two or three years qualifies as a long time?
No.
You don't think so? Yeah.
Not in retrospective life, no.
I think a long time is...
Okay.
I think a long time is like 12
years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm. After you live to be like 90 average, 3 years is nothing.
Interesting. Okay, very good. That's, I hear. All right, could be. Let me tell you what the people that I saw, what they say about this, and you'll decide on this point what you think makes sense. Basically here, the way that it works is like this, okay? So we saw again, Rashi says it means le'olam. A different shita called the Nemuka Yosef, okay? He's one of the commentators, he's one of the Rishonim. So he actually says, okay, he said a long time. Okay, the Mukyoso specifically says a long time.
Who says that?
The Mukyoso, one of the Rishon in wherever it says, in Makos, I think, on the Gemara. So he says that it means it lasts for a long time. According to him, it makes sense. It could make sense to say that 3 years means a long time, or it could be what you're saying. Maybe 3 years is not a long time. Maybe it's got to be 10 years or 15, who knows? Okay? So this one is going to be a question, all right? It's this. That's a question mark. If it's forever, okay, then maybe you would say, not the right time. Okay. Everybody got that? Okay. Now, even if you say that it's that forever doesn't mean forever, okay, it could still be that this is Usher Jarabon. Okay, I mean, just because, you know, it's something which is not lo olam, but maybe the rabbis don't say this is Usher, because the rabbis often forbid things that are, you know, that are close to the Dorah, but not exactly the same thing. So here we don't know. It doesn't say in the Gemara like what the rabbis, doesn't quite say. Okay. Let's look at
Nobody else isn't sure.
No, so again, Rashi says that Rashi says it means lo olam. Okay. So Rashi says it's lo olam, but we don't know what forever means. Okay, we had a question, does forever mean really forever? Which is this, or maybe forever means a long time. Okay, and even without Rashi, it's not clear what, you know, in the Torah, does it say in the Torah does it have to be permanent?
No.
Now, Rashi said that, okay? But and if you look at the Gemara in source number 3, which we'll see in a second, the Gemara also doesn't say anything about that. And now, if you just skip for a second to the Shulchan Aruch, okay? Look at source number 6, okay? Source number 6. So the Shulchan Aruch says, okay, K'tovet Kaka, Hayon shesori al basaro. Okay, you make a scratch, an incision in your flesh, and mali makom asrita, and you fill it up bechol odio oshar tzivonim harushim with some sort of ink. Okay, that's what he says. Now, does he mention anything here about being permanent? No. What might that imply? Maybe again, I think if it lasts for like, you know, a few seconds, that wouldn't count. But if it lasts for a significant amount of time, which I think 3 years does qualify, the Shulchan Aruch might say that it's still a problem. Okay, so that's basically. That's the idea here. Okay, so maybe it's a bit of a debate exactly what the parameters are of permanence. It's very possible that 3 years is included, and even if it's not, it could be that means Rabbanan is still going to be usher. Okay, good so far.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Next question. Okay, how deep does it have to go? Okay, so here again, I don't have this source on the sheet, but I'll just tell you one of the quotes here from the Ritva. Okay. The Ritva says like this. Okay, the Ritva is again one of the commentaries in the Gemara. He says that basically the case is where the dye goes in between the skin and the flesh. All right. So what does that mean to you? We said this already before. Let's say it again now. What does that mean in between the skin and the flesh?
Sounds like it hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Again, if that you have it.
But if it wasn't in between your skin and your flesh, you wouldn't see it.
Okay.
Because once it goes into your flesh, it's now like embedded in your muscles, and it won't show through.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
It's nappy. Like, the only place that you would be able to see it is in between your epidermis and your muscles.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can't see it.
Okay.
It's like a shot when you get a shot.
Fine. Okay.
So
the question is again. So if it's again by the Shulchan Aruch also, the one we just read says it also. Source number 6. Torah Kadosh is so weird. I'll be sorry. You make a scratch or an incision, and you fill in the makom asrita with chol odio. That sounds like underneath the top layer of skin, but before you get into the actual flesh.
Well,
that makes sense. The question is then: is this the same thing? The cosmetic tattoos is basically done the same way. Okay. Yeah, no, it is. It's done. It's not on the top layer of flesh. Otherwise, it would go away. You know, within a few weeks, probably. But it's in the middle layer, which probably, if that's the same thing as regular tattoos, then it seems like that might be included in the user.
Okay, understand? How are regular tattoos done? Same?
In between? I think so. Though maybe I'm wrong. How far does a regular tattoo go? I think the regular tattoo is the same thing. No? Okay, again, if it goes into the actual flesh, like the muscle, what you were saying, it's not really going to... I think that's not... It's not going to be seen anymore. But it seems... That if it's in between the two layers, the two top layers, that would be the regular case, and it seems to me that would be a problem. Okay.
So is that the final answer?
Now, second. Okay. So So that's for sure. I mean, in any case, that's for sure a problem. Okay, it seems like in terms of this point here, this is not going to be a reason why you have to be able to be lenient. This basically, this aspect of the prohibition would definitely be violated. Okay, and it shouldn't spit in the flesh. This is what we have in this case, and that's usually what tattoos would be. Okay, so that's going to be the same thing. Now here, you can ask though, well, what happens if that's one of the cases you guys asked that? All right. So let's say you do something on your hand. You do one of those things on your hands. Put a stamp on your hand. All sorts of stuff on your hand. You make marker colors on your hand.
A stamp.
So then what? Is that okay?
But yeah. Sometimes when you go into like a play world, you don't have
play world.
Like, you know, they have like
amusement park.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You don't have chosen to give you a hand, and it says some sort of tall.
You're allowed.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the story with that?
Can you read it?
Source
called
it also says that if you go to an amusement park,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he says.
Because it's like if I go like this on my hand, and I'm gonna go wash up, it'll come off.
But you also have always grandmas to say, oh, stop writing in your hand. You're not allowed to write in your hand.
Or just don't want you to write in your hand.
You're not supposed to. It's not good.
Okay. So let's look for a second. No. Let's look for a second. Source number 10. Okay. We're not gonna read this whole thing. But if you can look at source number 10, how do we do this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, okay? 5 lines from the bottom, right where there's a period, okay? Lefiza, see where that is?
Yes.
All right, source number 10, the big one. That's the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, which probably most of you have heard of.
Yeah.
Okay. The Minchas Chinuch is a halakha commentary on that, and the fifth line from the bottom, source number 10, look what he says, okay? Start right in the middle of the line. Basically, again, I'm not going to give you the whole discussion here, but basically, he says, again, I'm right in the middle, but basically he says, Pukhazi Mayama Dagar, go look what people do. Sha'osa Rishima, okay, about making a mark. What does he mean? Uva'emis Lora Isim Ishum Yisrael Shiasa Rishima, Shalayuchal Limchok Agufo. He says, I've never seen Jews that have made basically on the top of their skin something which doesn't go away, which you can't erase. Okay? So that's why he writes in the Alkin, he says, Nira du Isra Drabana, because that's a close one, etc. Okay? He says, it sounds like he's saying here that if you do it on the top surface of the skin, it's still going to be Isra Drabana. So the question is,
what does this translation mean? Go see what others do.
Go see what people do. And he says, we see that Jews don't usually put any kind of semi-permanent marks on your actual skin, on the top of your skin. Okay? He says, therefore, it must be that it's Isra Drabana. Now, that's interesting. So then now what do we say? All these cases that we're just talking about, are they all ulcer? Can you not go into an amusement park if they're going to stamp
it? But it's even more than that. It's like, okay, well, don't cook because you might get charcoal on your hand and it might make your hand dirty for 2 seconds.
Right, good. So what's the difference? Tell me the difference. Why is that not the case? We said it before already, a little bit.
It was not purpose.
What'd you say?
It was not purpose.
Forget that. Forget the purpose. But how long does it last for? That's the question.
But I'm going to wash my hands and the charcoal will come off. I'm going to wash my hands and the amusement park stamp will come off.
Right.
But it's also like, okay, I can go and get marker on my hand and it'll sting me for 2 days because, like, it's just...
Okay. I think the question is, look at your rejector, okay? Look at the second paragraph, which you guys probably read already.
Yep.
Second paragraph in source number 12. He says, the Minchas Chinuch though writes that it is obvious that this rabbinic prohibition applies only if what? If the mark cannot be erased. However, he writes, simple writing with ink on the hand is not even rabbinically prohibited. Okay? So that's basically the main point that we're going to get out of this. Again, we didn't read the whole thing. But basically, that's what he wants to say, that only if it's something which wouldn't go away, shemoyu chalimchok, is it going to be a problem. But if it's something that you can erase, he's going to say that is permitted. And that's why we said before, again, the case of the fake tattoos of the kids and the amusement park and whatever you told me from the weddings, from the spar, whoever was doing tattoos at the weddings.
Henna
tattoos,
that's
yeah.
Smart,
yeah. So again, apparently, those are halakhically not a problem. Okay? He writes here that it's undignified. What'd you say? I hope they wash off.
It just takes a long time. Like, not that kind of long time.
It takes like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyways, that's the Minchas Chinuch and Reish and Gimel. That's the story with that. Okay, so we have here, again, basically it's got to be in between the skin and the flesh. Okay, if it's on top skin surface, it's usher only if what? Usher only if it can't be erased.
Is there Drabana, if I can?
Yes, sorry, is there Drabana, right. The top skin usher. Okay, next point. Order of the process. I'm running out of them here. Order of the process. So look at this. So look for a second at the Rambam in source number 7. Okay? The Rambam in source number 7 says the following. It says, Ksobas kaka, hamor batara, he shi yisro al basaro. What do you do first? You make the incision first. What do you do afterwards? Right. Okay. Okay. So the question is now, what's the order of the Rambam? The order is first incision and then ink. Okay, is that the way that it's done today, usually?
No.
I think it is, no?
How else would you
do? What?
I think they just drop.
Well, you have to make a space in the skin.
Yeah.
But I don't think they make like an outline.
No, there's like a. They use the like a pen. But the needle has like ink on it.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's usually the way that it's done today.
That's why it looks red after.
What's interesting. Okay, what's interesting.
Like it's red.
Okay.
Not skin colored to match.
Okay, what's interesting is that some of the other Rishonim actually say that you put on the ink first and then you inject it into the skin. Okay.
So,
I was trying to figure out the same thing. I guess what it means is that, like, you put the ink on the skin, and then afterwards you make the hole, and then the ink goes in. It, like, drops in or something. Again, I have not tried this. I have no idea. But that's what some Rishonim say. The one of the colleges in the Gemara actually said that. So, I don't know. Okay. So, the question is, does it matter which order you do? Meaning, according to the, you know, these orders, does it matter if you do the opposite order? Okay. So, the answer is, look at source number 8. Okay, the Shach is one of the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Hu hadin hehe, but hu hadin kote b'tzeva tchila ve'achakach sori b'makom tzeva." Okay, he says the same thing is true if you write the ink first and then afterwards you make an incision, and vice versa. I mean, everybody will agree that the order does not matter. Okay, that's basically the way that we hold life. Okay, so here we're going to say order of process doesn't matter. Okay, so in terms of that, for sure we can say that the semi-permanent tattoos is going to be, you know, the order is not going to make a difference at all. Okay, with me so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Here comes the next one, right? What must be right? Words or just color? Okay, so let's figure out this. So here, unfortunately these sources are not on the sheet, but I'll just tell you what some of them are. Let's see. Actually, that's not true. Oh, I'm sorry, there's one source on the sheet. We could do one source. Source number 9. Okay, ready? So source number 9, in the Pinchei Tshuva, he quotes the following source from the Tshuva Nil Tzedakah. He's one of the, you know, the leader of Ephraim. He says like this, Shinistapik, what does Nistapik mean? From the word Sapik. He's doubt. He's not sure. What's he not sure about? Bedin Ketovet Kaka. The halacha of Ketovet Kaka. That's our case. Le'inyan Chiyuv Malchus. Okay, what's Chiyuv Malchus? Getting lashes, okay? What do you get if you violate some prohibition? What punishment do you get according to the Torah? Get lashes, okay? This was again the time that the courts used, the basin used to do this. He says, "What halacha? Do you get malchut e ba'inan sheheva otio asher heim muskamim inevad the tchay the streets of Alma or is a rosh of sheyeh well so pelva the ba'inan ktav otio mamish." What's his question? Okay, his question is: in order to violate this, does it have to be otio, words, or do we say what he calls a rosh rishima, color, or okay, a mark, okay, a scratch? Which one is the issue of the Torah? See the question?
Probably
words. So look what he answers. So he answers, uvasopela, the last line of source number 9, uvasopela, divainam ktav otio mamish. What do you need?
Otio.
You actually need letters. El tzagi afil ba'od achat. How many letters do you need though?
Two.
Sagi means it's sufficient. Afil ba'od achat.
One.
Yeah. And even if you have one letter, you still violate the prohibition.
So
a line is an L technically, so is that like
so language.
Oh, is a line really a letter?
What language?
It's an L.
I don't know.
A lowercase
like
L.
Probably any language, no?
Well,
so I can go get a tattoo if it's just a picture?
Wait, hold on, we didn't finish yet. Okay, that's what this source says. Okay, the Pinchei Tshuva says what'd you say? The Pinchei Tshuva that we just read inside says you violate the prohibition of tattoo even if you have only one letter. But it sounds like you have to have a letter. If you don't have a letter, you don't violate it. Okay?
What'd you say? It could.
Okay. That's a question. I don't know, like, 70 languages. You know, they say in the Sanhedrin, they had no 70 languages. I guess they would know, because they have no other languages. I have no idea.
Maybe, like, what's your intention? Like, do you do a
circle? It could be. That's also true. That's a good point. Maybe it makes sense. It means your intention. If you did a circle for a circle and for a letter, it could be. I'm not sure.
I'm
going
to go get a circle.
Okay. Not sure exactly.
No, I just felt like it.
Here, you just felt like it.
Like a circle would be like, right.
Have you seen my circle tattoo?
No. I'm not sure if we want to see it, do we?
We're about to fix this.
Yeah. All right. There are a few other opinions here.
Wait, what? So half of my members, no one go by him?
Hold on. Probably not. So he says in the middle of... So the Minchas Chinuch, in the same piece as before, is right in the middle there.
Wait,
he wants to say, what'd you say?
Who was source 9?
That was the Pilchei Tshuva, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch, though, he says that right in the middle of that piece there, I think. He says, Lofi Zeh, we're not going to read inside, this is like the fifth line right in the middle. He says, Lofi Zeh Asur Nichtov Al Besar Rishima. It seems based on some of the sources he was quoting before that, based on Tosfos, that maybe... Okay, that even a scratch is going to be prohibited. I mean, it doesn't have to be a letter, but even a scratch is going to be a problem.
Based
okay,
on
based on Tosos, which we didn't read inside, based on Tosos there, basically says that.
The thing is removal.
Okay, Tosos seems we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but he seems to be talking about a scratch. Okay, and then Chassidus says if he's talking about a scratch without a word, it sounds like he's going to say that even if you don't have a letter or a word, then it's still going to be a problem. Okay, so basically here the bottom line is that this is a machlokas rishon and a machlor. Okay, it's a machlokas whether you need to have words or not. Okay. Now here's the question. Is this still also drabon? Okay, this is for the Isra Doraisa.
Why shouldn't it be those?
Well, maybe I'll tell you that the only prohibition they're talking about if you buy with a Doraisa. But maybe everybody would agree that it's also drabanan, even if you just have a scratch. I don't know. Maybe. Okay.
Like could if be. I scratch myself, that's an issue?
No, it has to be a scratch, an incision which goes to the next layer of the skin.
If you get like a cut.
That's permanent.
So if I get a cut and okay. It like goes really deep and it leaves a scar.
Oh my god, please don't.
Not if you don't do it for that reason, but if you did it on purpose for that, then maybe, yeah. Maybe
yeah, I also see people who do like okay. The cutting thing to make patterns in their skin.
What?
What
are you doing?
I don't know, maybe.
No,
yeah. You know,
he had like all over his arm. He, like,
okay,
he,
Adina's getting a little lush.
Oh my god,
and it was like raised, so it like made these raised
okay.
Patterns. Oh my god, I saw that in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I saw
the guy did his tattoo. He burnt his tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't think he burned that.
Made
he
his hand print a tattoo on his arm by burning
it.
I saw him do his Book of World Records.
I think he also had it on his head too. He was bald and he had it like.
Oh my gosh, really?
Anyways.
Okay. Anyway, so let's look at it. Anybody see source number 5 by any chance? Did anybody get a chance to see source number 5?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, okay. So there's an interesting line of source number 5 which might be relevant to this question here of number 4. Okay. He says here, skip the first two lines. Look at the last line of source number 5. Amar of Malkia, Amar of Adabar Ab. Asur lo adam, she attained Afer Machva al Gabi Makato. And can anyone know what that is? Afer or Afer Machva? Afer?
Ashes,
very good. Al-gabi makato. Okay, on his maka. What is maka?
A bruise.
A bruise or a wound. Okay, you're not allowed to put a certain kind of very sharp or hot ashes on your on a bruise. You know why? Because what does it look like? It looks like a...
tattoo.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What?
What do you mean putting stuff on your bruise?
It's like a very hot ashes on your bruise to make it apparent that they probably made it. They made it feel better. I don't know if it actually cured it or not, but it says it's also because it looks like a tattoo.
So this anything that looks like it's
so even if you were to go by the whole, even if you have one like that, you could have no letters.
Right.
This one would make it.
Ah, is this the rice or the rabbana? This Gemara here.
The rabbana.
Right. How do you know?
To Mishnah.
It's
a Gemara.
No, it's in the Mishnah.
Because
it's
in the Gemara.
Okay, good. More than that, though. You're right. But even more than that, how do you know that it's... Does it say that it's an actual tattoo?
No, it's a bruise.
Right.
It's ashes.
Right. But then he explains, why is it not so then if it's just
where
ashes?
Where is this?
Well, it's 5. What? Ah, the nation near Kiktava Kavka. And this is where whoever was before, I said about Maradine. Who mentioned Maradine before?
Five.
Who mentioned Maradine before? I think it was Danielle,
Danielle,
huh?
Danielle.
Did you mention Maradine before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, wake up. This is your source, okay? This is yours. Okay, the nation near Kiktava Kavka. It looks like a tattoo. That sounds like Maradine, a little bit, maybe. Okay, now what's my point from here? Okay, it's Darbun, it looks like a tattoo. What does it not have? This is what I think what you were saying before.
It doesn't have letters.
Ah, it's just the ashes on the letters don't have letters. The ashes on the skin don't have letters. So if you think that it looks like a tattoo, it must be that at least means Darbun, that if it doesn't have letters, is it still also means Darbun?
No.
Yes.
Probably yes. Maybe not definitely, but probably yes. Okay, that's what it sounds like. All right. So that's an important point. That's an important point.
Letters
it sounds not from letters. Here, it's not clear exactly, but it sounds, this seems to be a good proof that at least we draw a bun, even if you don't have letters, it's still going to be usher. Okay? It's not 100% clear, but that's what it seems like. Okay?
What about, what do you call these?
Shots. Shots? You can get a shot. What's the problem?
Go make it into
a
shot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't scar you.
Right.
It doesn't
scar
you.
I'm assuming, yeah.
I'm assuming,
really? Like, more than like a day? Again, like, I'm assuming the case of the ashes case, I think, makes it like a very strong scar. I'm assuming that's the case there with the ashes, is where it really leaves it. You have a wound, and you put hot ashes on top, it's going to leave a little bit of a scar afterwards, probably.
But
for more than like a day.
Injection, you're not inserting dye, you're inserting medication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it has to
and
be
the
dye.
Problem is when you insert
so
dye.
So I'm allowed to stab myself with a needle?
No, because you're not allowed to hurt yourself when you're
for no good reason, you can't hurt yourself if you
but
do
I'm
it.
I'm hurting myself getting a
t- let's get a shot, it's okay. Yeah,
yeah,
get a shot.
For medical
right.
reasons.
Exactly.
You can't
yeah.
hurt yourself just
exactly.
So. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I
don't like pain, but. Okay. Alright, anyway, so we have a big machlokas here about the story with the letters. Okay, but some people say that basically, again, if it's, you know, midrabban, it might be us or even without the letters because of this Gemara. Now, what's interesting is there actually is one opinion that holds that it's permitted. Okay.
What?
Let me explain to you what I mean. Okay. Anybody heard of Rav Nebenzahl from the Old City? Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Heard of him?
No.
Okay. He was the Rav of the Old City. He's like just going to retire from being the Rav of the Old City now, but he's still around. Okay.
He's still with us.
We see him in Akotel sometimes. He comes in once or twice a week. I think if you haven't heard of Tibari, I think he sometimes goes there too. Okay. He's a big Talmud. He's like one of the Gedolei HaDor, basically. Avigdor Nebenzahl. What?
Yeah,
you don't talk to boys, right? I knew you were going to say that, but...
Nebenzahl,
yeah.
Nebenzahl.
Yeah, with a B, yeah. Or a B, or a V. Okay, so he actually wants to say that he thinks that it actually might be permitted. Okay, why is that? So listen to this.
He's like a great rabbi.
He is. He's the minority. Most posts say that it's usher, but he says it's okay. Why? So let me explain to you. So he wants to say that maybe it's permitted because of the following. Okay, number one, there's two points he makes. Okay, 2 points he makes. Number one, he says... Is it permanent in this case?
No.
No, it's not permanent. So he wants to say,
wait,
because
it's
only 3 years, so this is factor number one, say that it's okay.
Wait,
it's
what
not
is
permanent.
He said talking about?
He wants to say semi-permanent cosmetic tattoos are okay. Why? This is factor number one, okay, because it's 3 years, not permanent. Okay, and he basically say like this, it's gotta be forever, and this is factor number one. But factor number two, he says, you know what? Let's take another look at this question of the words and the colors, okay? Did anybody ever learn Hilchos Shabbos here?
Yeah.
A little bit, right? Okay. So that's your next class if you're still in it. Okay, if you're not going to a new one. Okay. Well, that's a good question. Anybody, did you guys learn anything about the prohibition of writing on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you not allowed to write on Shabbos?
Why?
What are you not allowed to write on Shabbos?
Two letters.
Letters. Okay.
But they have to be set.
Can you draw a picture on Shabbos?
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to die.
What if you do it on the sand?
Darabana, no, because they said if you draw me,
yeah.
I'll need you to write.
Yeah,
I meant to write to them. Yes.
Okay, good. So Nebenzahl says, okay. Nebenzahl says, like this, okay. Nebenzahl says that if you violate Kotei Ban Shas, you have to either write letters from Nebenzahl here.
Nebenzahl.
I think
your English is like this, okay? English, it's written like this. In Hebrew, it's, you know, like that. Okay? So he says when it comes to writing on Shabbos, you have to write letters, or at least you got to draw a picture. He says if you just make a mark, though, if you just make an imprint on the skin, that's not Kotei. That might be a different halacha called, anybody know?
Are you not allowed to dye your
job? Might be a very excellent. Might be a question of Sylvia.
You're not allowed to dye on
D-Y-E.
That's why, like, you're not allowed to tan on jobs.
D-Y-E, not D-I-E.
You're not allowed to tan on jobs because you're not
allowed to
tan on
Sylvia. That's big, it's a machlokes.
You have to sit in the sun if you're
a permanent resident. It's a machlokes. It's a machlokes.
If you're not allowed to tan, you're not allowed to sit in the sun for your
permits to tan.
If you're sitting outside, you're eating.
So there's a whole question! There's a whole question whether you're allowed to make a mark that colors your skin. That's part of the question of tanning on Shabbos. If you make a mark, if you make your skin a different color by tanning, there's a shiloh whether that's okay or not. It's machloka. Some people say it's okay. But that's a shiloh. But that's so bad, it's not clear. So Rav Nebenzahl argues like this. He says, what's the prohibition of tattoo? What's it called in Hebrew?
Takua.
This one.
Well, two words.
Kaka.
First word. Tove kaka. He says, what's tove kaka? It must be like, which malach on Shabbos?
Right.
Like kote. Right. He says, it's not so bad. It's kote. If it's got to be like kote, then maybe it's only prohibited, just like Shabbos. If what? If it's a letter, writing, or what was the other option? Maybe a
picture.
But he says, a mark. Just a mark, in this case for permanent, you know, what they do with the cosmetics, just a mark, he thinks that's okay. I mean, there's a combination of this point and this point together, he thinks they're okay.
Wait, do people get on their lips?
Rob Nebenzahl says
it's okay. Yeah, he's, again, he's in the minority, okay? We'll review at the end. We have, it's 15 minutes. We'll review at the end what the postman say, but because it's relevant to this point here, I'm mentioning it now, he is one of the very few postmen, really the minority of postmen, who actually wants to argue that it's okay. All right, so that's why I'm not going to tell you that even if I say, I think that it might be usher, but there are some postmen that say that it's okay, and therefore anybody that does it is not like an absolute sinner. Okay, they may have some postmen to rely on. The problem is they may never have asked a shiloh. Okay, they probably didn't know or care, and most rabbis that they ask probably would tell them that they shouldn't do it. But again, the Rebbe is a tremendous postman.
So
he wants to argue that it's okay.
Because it's not permanent. And
right, and because of the thing of the letters. Okay, the problem is, like this, and then Jaffer points this out. Okay, Rav Nebenzahl, I'm assuming we'll have an answer to this. Okay, I'm assuming he'll have an answer to this. Okay, however, the questions that you could have, okay, are the following. Okay, the question you could have is the Gemara there about the makla, okay, in the case of the ashes, do you think that has letters? Is that a picture?
No.
No, the same thing we said before, that's still a question, okay?
No, but, okay, so let's say that is okay because it's a picture. Anyway,
it's not a picture.
Okay, it's a marking or whatever.
Right, it's probably not a picture.
It still wouldn't be okay according to the what's about according to the math thing.
Which thing?
It's the
Minchat Chinuch.
The Minchat Chinuch. Wait, is that what I said?
Okay.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Because meaning, he says that.
Correct. Very good. Okay. Meaning Rav Nebenzahl is probably going to be relying more on the Pesachei Tshuva than on the Minchas Chinuch. Because we said already it's a machlokas. Okay. So he wants to say that that we passing like the opinions that say that you need to have letters or pictures based on the Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. He's not passing like the Minchas Chinuch, presumably, unless he has a way to explain why he would agree. I don't know if he does, but that's what he says. And he would hold like the Pesachei Tshuva, let's say. The problem is, okay. Again, this is a deep, it's not clear. But from the Shulchan Aruch that we read before in source number 6, does he mention anything about making a picture or words?
No.
He just says, Haimash Shisori al Basari. All you do is make a incision. Okay, so again, it's not definitive, you could argue with this. But the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that he thought that really you don't have to write a picture, you know, picture or letters. So again, usually follow the Shulchan Aruch. In this case, I told you before, in source number 9, we have the Pesachei Tshuva that seems to say you do need letters. But again, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch seems like you don't. And again, the majority of the postgame, and certainly today, the majority of contemporary postgame seem to believe that even without letters or pictures, it still violates the Isra, at least Midrabban. Okay, at least Midrabban, most postgame still agree that that violates it. So Rav Nebenzahl is basically in the minority, but again, he does seem to say that it's okay.
Is he a well-known rabbi?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but
people.
That's a
people do follow. I don't know if people follow him about this issue, but in general, he's a very well-respected and well-accepted person.
People are probably looking for leniency, probably.
So that's the thing. I mean, if he's the rabbi that you follow a lot of the time, then you probably could follow him here as well. If he's not, again, in this particular case, a lot of postmen disagree, so I don't know if I would say lechachilo to follow him, unless you have like. You have a really important need, then already it could be that there's room to follow.
I feel like I have to follow, like, he says like this, I'll follow, because this is
Matim. Diffie. Again, if you thought one about other things, maybe yes. If not, you have to analyze this case by itself. And as we're seeing here, the issue is very not simple. It's very complex. And as we'll see, you know, a lot of people disagree. So it's not so simple to just say, well, I'll follow him just because I want to do this. You know, some people say, well, I want to get the, you know, it's good for me. I want to get, you know, I want to get the makeup, and it's easy. So therefore, I'm going to follow the one that says it's okay. That's not always the way the halacha works. Okay, halacha, you really have to analyze the sources in detail yourself, or you have to follow a rabbi that you usually follow. Okay, you can't just pick and choose every single time. You understand? So in this case, you really need to ask the rabbis that you usually follow, or if not, at least you have to learn the sources really well and see that, well, yeah, one rabbi says this, but a lot of the other rabbis disagree, and we have a Gemara which seems to, you know, be a little harder to understand according to him. Okay, again, it's not impossible to understand it, but it's a little harder. So there's less of a reason to say, well, you can just easily say what he says. Okay. There's another point also, by the way, which I don't have here, but there's another posting called the Sheva Halevi. Okay, Rav Vosner, who's a big posting in B'nai Brak. So he also wants to say that maybe it's okay, but then he says that basically you shouldn't do it anyway because it's too close to Ketuvah Ka'aka. I mean, even if technically maybe it's not, but it's like smacks of Ketuvah Ka'aka. Okay, if you look at it, it almost seems like the same thing. Which is like, it's not exactly halacha, but it's like what they call meta halacha, something which is too close for comfort. Okay, meaning if you were a rabbi and somebody asked you about something, and technically it was okay, but it really, really looked like the real thing.
Like even if, what?
I don't know. I have to think of some good examples here.
Like bacon.
What?
Bacon.
Okay, so again, bacon might be a little different. If everybody knows.
Bacon?
Put it this way. Put it this way.
Bacon. Bacon. Oh, please.
Okay, that's really a question of Mara and Ayn. Okay, maybe you would say it's like it's Mara and Ayn.
Outside
America,
you don't have it. It's only in America.
Really, it's
disgusting.
Disgusting.
The smell makes
me want to smell. I love all that stuff. My family loves that kind of thing, stars. Like making Morningstar. Yeah.
And also, like, if you get this side of salad.
Oh, I love bacon bits. I love
it. So
I hate bacon bits, but I like Morningstar.
Oh,
you like Morningstar baked bacon?
Sorry, I'm
not. Because they cook it really crispy, so it's really good.
So gross.
So bad.
Okay, let's go.
Do you boil it?
Let's go.
No, why would you boil it?
I don't know, that's how I'm
why egg?
You
no!
Even if you boil it in the microwave, it's still disgusting. Oh. And it's always
on the skillet, you put it on the pan, like a little hot
pot. Okay, next point. Next point. All right. Who violates the Isser Tovah Ka'aka? Who's the one that does it? Is it the person that puts in the tattoo or the one that gets it on their body?
Both.
Okay.
Oh, we skipped the
why do you
point.
Say that? How do you know? So what do you
say? I think it's you because
if it's a non-Jew, then they don't have this halacha anyway. So then why would they be?
Okay, you're right.
Wrong?
You're right. So
if it's a Jew, then he's wrong, you and you're in the wrong. But if it's a non-Jew, then just you're in the wrong.
No. Okay, let's say it like this. Okay, let's assume the case is such where the non-Jew is the one that's doing it for you.
Then
okay.
You're in the wrong.
Then what?
You're actually
why?
Because you're not allowed to make a permanent mark in your skin.
Okay, interesting. So let me tell you what the opinions are, and we'll see if you're right. Okay? On one hand, it's Tosefta, which is like the Gemara. Okay? Tosefta. Tosefta says it's both. Okay?
Even if it's not Jew?
Yeah, yeah. It says both the person.
But that's
No, you're right. I'm sorry. If whoever's Jewish in the procedure, meaning if the person that's doing it is Jewish,
the Jew is wrong.
Then he would violate the Isser. And if the person who is getting it on their skin is Jewish, then they would violate the Isser. And if they're both Jewish, then they both would violate the Isser.
Right.
Okay, that's what Tosefta says. Okay.
What if like my tattoo artist was like Kat Von D?
What?
She's like,
that's interesting. Alright, we'll leave her afterwards. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the sheet. I think I did not put it on the sheet, unfortunately. I did not. The Shulchan Aruch basically says like this, okay? He says that if you let somebody put a tattoo on your body, then you're putter if you didn't help them do it.
Who says this?
The Shulchan Aruch. Again, I'm sorry if not on the sheet. I apologize. It's in Siman Kuf Pei, Sif Bet. Okay.
If I didn't help them do it, I'm
open. But by me sitting here with my arm like this and letting him do a tattoo on my arm.
Well, first question is first
that's
question.
Not me helping
the first question is what does putter mean? The first question is what does putter mean? Okay.
What does let
putter means he's exempt, but does that mean that it's putter but it's still usher or putter and permitted?
Putter okay. And usher.
So on Shabbos it definitely means putter aval usher. Very good. Okay, Shabbos usually means that. Other things it's not clear. But yeah.
Maybe it's like someone
it sounds like what he says. If you don't, when he says you don't assist, that's also a question of what assist means.
Yeah.
Let's assume for now it means that you put out your hand, you don't do it. Let's assume what it means is that you put out your hand, but you don't actually do any of it.
Usually, you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe the Torah is talking about a case where you did it yourself.
But by painting.
Or helped out.
Maybe. Well, yeah, but by me standing still and not moving is helping them.
I would also think that by painting, you're doing something, you know? You're participating because you're giving him the means to do it.
Okay, could be. Could be. It's not clear exactly. Let me say number one. Okay, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's definitely, I would think that it makes sense to say that it's Darabanan. Okay, maybe not Daraisa if you don't do it yourself, but it may still be Darabanan. That would make sense. Now, are you really assisting the process or not? Okay, so this is a big debate. Okay, one of the people say that it's really usher. Okay,
it's usher for
basically that he's also he's included. I mean, the person that's letting you that's doing it to their body is included. Okay,
but it's Jew, they don't have any. It's not in their seven banana.
What'd you say? But I'm saying again, if you're the one that's letting it be done to you.
That's what I'm saying. It should be the Jew in all cases.
Okay, fine. Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's not for B'nai Noach. So again, either it's going to be Usher Darabanan because you know, because the Shulchan says Pater, or it's going to be Usher Daraisa because of what you guys said. Maybe you're putting your hands out or moving your hands around a little bit to let him do the procedure, et cetera, maybe that counts as assisting him. That's a possibility. Now, again, some of the time I think they do it when you're under anesthesia, so that's also a question. Okay, if you're under anesthesia, that might not be assisting. It's also a question, not clear.
It's not assisting, yeah. But you're still there. It's not like they're just doing it.
Yeah, but again, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you don't help out, then maybe you're not violating the Daraisa procedure. So maybe it's on Darabanan. I don't know. Is that considered to be helping them out? I'm not sure. Again, either way, it's Darabanan. Either way, it's clear Darabanan. And it might be Daraisa as well. Okay.
You'll be my first.
Okay, it's possible. It's not clear. Okay, it's not clear. We're out of time, so we're skipping that one. And some people want to say that maybe it's only if you do it for Avodah Zarah reasons, but the bottom line is that everybody agrees that it's at least Darabanan. Okay, we missed the Gemara here, which we weren't going to
read. People wouldn't do it for Avodah Zarah reasons.
Basically, it says here on source number 5, the Gemara, if you saw it, he says the first two lines of the Gemara there said basically that you're only chayav if you write the name of an idol, of an idol. Okay, that's one opinion here. So again, the question is, do we paskin like that? And if not, is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? It's not clear. The bottom line is that everybody agrees that it's usher, at least d'rabbanan, even if you don't write the name of an idol on it. Okay. And the last point. What'd you say?
What was the whole idol thing about?
Just that maybe you're not chayav for tattoos if you don't write the name of an idol on your tattoo. But again, we pass him that at least is also Darabanan even without that. Okay? That's the general accepted halacha. So, basically we're left with the following. Okay? The bottom line is that most of the poskim hold that it's usher. Okay? Some might say it's Daraisa, some might say it's Darabanan, because as you mentioned, a lot of these points here might actually make the case Darabanan. Okay? Because we've got a few different points here where we said that maybe it doesn't actually fulfill the Daraisa based on, again, maybe not being permanent, based on the words. Based on this, it's not clear. It could be that it's only Darabanan, but most posts can hold that as Darabanan. Okay, if you don't know who they are, you may not be familiar with the name. But the people that talk about it, there's two articles in Tchumen, which is an Israeli journal, by a rabbi named Rav Batsri, another rabbi named Rav Schneelbag. I'm sorry. There's another rabbi called Rav Gesessner, who just passed away last year, I think it is. He wrote a Tchumen called Lahoris Nassim. A few other Rabbanan, a lot of the ones that write about it, basically, most of them say that it's Usser, at least Rabbanan, maybe Daraisa. And again, Nevendal is the one who disagreed. He said that it might be Mutter. Okay, most of them say that it's Usser, at least Darabanan. And again, because a lot of these factors, it really makes sense to say that it should be Usser, at least Darabanan, as we pointed out over here and over here. Yeah, probably. But again, if Nevendal permitted it, but he's really in the minority here. Most of the posts can disagree. Yeah?
What if you're somebody who converted? So
you're born good. So the last question I wanted to discuss, okay, really, there's two more questions.
Well,
okay,
then why
hold on. So first, just point out that even the postman said it was usher, were willing to say that in a case where it's done for medicinal purposes or cosmetic reasons, that because you had an accident, God forbid, or something is disfigured, and they want to put in, you know, the example he gives here, or a tattooed eyebrow, or what I told you before, or they change the color of the skin when using a tattoo to make it, you know, look like there's no scar. So they say that in those cases it's actually mutter. You know why? So you suggested before, Kaylee, because of the idea of that we saw talk about cosmetic surgery, but here it's different because ketovet ka'ka might still be violated even if it's done for, you know, beautification purposes. What they say though is that that might be an issue of kavod abriyot. Kavod abriyot means that if something looks terrible or you're embarrassed to go out in public, maybe for kavod abriyot we can violate an isur d'rabbanan. And this is where it's important to know whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. For kavod abriyot purposes, Okay? We allow you also on Shabbos, if you're stuck without any toilet paper, so the halachas, you might be allowed to tear toilet paper, you know, as a shinui. Okay, in a different way, like, you know, back with the back of your hands or something like that, because otherwise it's covered up briot to, you know, be able to use toilet paper. So here also, they want to say maybe it's the same thing. If you're, something's wrong, you know, got through with your skin, that you need to make it look normal, that's also covered up briot. So if you hold this drabban based on some of these points here, maybe you can allow it. And that's what they say. Okay? All the cases that we're talking about here are basically when you're doing it just for convenience, because you will like the way that it looks, you don't want to have to put on makeup every week or every day, etc., 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 etc. Okay? Last case. Okay, we'll end with this. Story 515. If you have a tattoo, do you have to get rid of it?
No.
So in the Shulchan Aruch, we didn't see, and nowhere else in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't mention anything about trying to get rid of it. The problem is, in their time, do you think they had ways of getting rid of tattoos?
No.
No. Today, there may be possible ways of getting rid of them. Again, it might be very painful, and etc., etc., but maybe they didn't have ways. So basically,
and what if you cover it?
That's fine. To cover it for sure is fine.
What if you get it on your face?
Get it on your face?
12 scars. One time there was this guy,
yeah,
and his whole body was covered, and he had like teardrops and like.
You know why they got teardrops?
Yeah.
And each teardrop represents per person.
Really?
And like,
yeah, I've seen
them. And like, yeah. What? And it's like, it's a game, his whole face was covered.
That's crazy.
So you can't
get
So that means that he
kills
a lot of people.
No, that's not
a moral. Okay, let's finish up, guys. We'll let you go. We'll let you go. So here we have.
Like, you kill someone.
Okay, we have a difference of opinion. The Minchas Yitzchak, who's Rav Weiss, so he says in Chelo Gimel, he wants to say that if you have a tattoo, like let's say before you became frum, and he's putting it on, it's in the same place where he would put his tefillin on now. So he doesn't say you have to remove it, but he says it's a good idea to take it away. You know why? Probably just because it doesn't look so good to have your tefillin on the same place
but
as your
tattoo.
But
it doesn't count if you did it before you became.
Yeah, he says you don't. He doesn't say you have to remove it, but he says it's a good idea. Okay, that's one idea. On the other hand, okay, on the other hand, and by the way, Bakshi Daron used to be the chief rabbi of Israel. He also says that you should remove it because otherwise you keep looking at it, and if you, let's say you did it before you became frum, every time you look at your tattoo, it's going to be a constant reminder of like what your life was before you became religious,
yeah,
and that's not
amazing.
So nice. You think it's good? He thinks it's bad. Very interesting. Okay.
Because it's like, look at how I was and look at how far I've come. Then it's something to be so proud of. Like, look at me, I used to be like this, but now I'm like this.
Okay, I hear that. I can totally hear what you're saying. Okay, you could definitely make your argument. He personally does not. I mean, he says that it reminds you every time you look at it, it reminds you of your sins, and therefore you should get rid of it. He doesn't say you're obligated to. He says it's a good idea. But again, I can hear what you're saying also, and what you're saying is actually very similar to what Rav Oshri says. You guys heard of Rav Ephraim Oshri? Yeah, you heard of him?
Yeah.
Excellent. Remember who he was? Who was he? Remember who he was? He lived during the time of the...
Amari?
No. Try the Holocaust. A little different. Yeah, within 2,000 years. So Rav Oshri actually was a big rabbi in the Holocaust who survived the ghetto and many other things. He wrote some Shalos HaTshuvos also called Mimah Makim. Okay, from the depths. So he writes a shiloh. Somebody asked him about taking off the tattoo that she got from the Nazis. You know what he says?
No.
He says, don't take it off. Why? Similar to what you're saying.
But
I'll read you the language.
Wait, who says
this? He was a rabbi who lived through the Holocaust and had lots of shiloh tattoos. He has like the craziest shiloh tattoo you could ever imagine.
He's still alive.
He was still alive. I'm not sure if he's alive anymore. I think he's very, very old now. He was still alive until very recently, though, I think. And he might still be alive, but I'm not sure. If he is, he's very, very old. Basically, he said that he had these crazy shalos. He was asked, like, you know, when the Nazis were going to pick one guy out of a camp, and if they didn't pick you, they were going to, you know, you could find somebody else to get the guy that they're going to pick, but if not, they're going to pick your son, so you have to volunteer the other guy to get picked. It's like these crazy cases of life and death, like these horrible, horrible cases. And he never wanted these on anybody. So here he says, don't get it away. God forbid that this woman should remove this number, because by doing so, she aids those who wish to erase the evil actions perpetrated on the Jewish people. Just the opposite, it is incumbent upon us to bear this mark with pride. Very interesting. According to him, there's no reason why you should remove it, and maybe it's even better not to remove it in that particular case of the Nazis. Okay, anyways, the bottom line is here for Shiloh, for people that ask this question, my personal opinion seems to be that the majority of posts hold that it's usser. At least when you draw a button, it's best not to get these types of cosmetic tattoos. But again, somebody that did it, or if they're really, really pushing, there may be, as we mentioned, Rav Nevenzahl might allow it, and for those who need it for medicinal purposes, again, we said that maybe posting them might allow it to make yourself, you know, make your face look better, etc., etc. That's basically the story. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.